Greetings. Today we discuss two matters. The first matter is about a man named Charles Mountbatten Windsor, also known as King Charles III, King of England, Scotland, Wales, Jamaica, Antigua, Barbuda, Anguilla, St. Kitts and Nevis, and other places. And the second matter is about housing for the people of our country. Discussing the first matter will be brief. Our Prime Minister has declared that we will have the opportunity to cut constitutional ties with the British monarchy. Let's do this as quickly as possible. A referendum will be required. And to be practical, let us consider other constitutional changes which we might want to make, and let us have a referendum on all of those matters. Yes, it would be good to at last have a working and equitable relationship with the British. I say at last because the relationship has never been equitable. This is because they held the big stick then and they hold the big stick still. Indeed, the colonial setup of the past has not really changed in the world. The countries of the North, together with Russia, China, and emerging India, hold much of the sway with regard to the way in which the affairs of former colonies and conquered lands are conducted. And we in the former colonies are as much to blame for this as they are, because the hard work of removing ourselves from under the yoke, the necessary work of forming alliances among ourselves so that our voices and collective power can be heard and felt globally, is our work to do, not theirs. We remain divided and weak. So when they crack their whips and tell us to change our laws, to tighten up on this and tighten up on that, while London, Amsterdam, Paris, New York and others remain the top money laundering centers of the world, when we as peoples of these former colonies and conquered lands allow our leaders to be compromised and corrupted by them and to work in cahoots with them against our best interests, when all of those things happen, and they do happen still, we continue to be captive and taken advantage of. They are still telling us to do as they say and not as they do. And we can't go on blaming them forever. It is our fault. And Charles Mountbatten Windsor embodies that northern arrogance and wealth that has preyed on southern exploitation, blood, and enslavement for centuries. So Charles needs to go in a cool and thoughtful way, but he needs to go. So when the time comes, I urge you to vote yes. Now we want to come to this proposal by our government to have 2,400 houses built over the next 4 years, 600 houses a year, under contract with some foreign business people. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing against foreign people. How could I? What I want to see done right is the processes being managed so that the principal purpose of government, which is to protect and promote our citizens, is obeyed. So here are some questions and comments. One, given the scope of this project, intended to house about 20% of the population, should there not have been sharing of information and consultations with the public? I think so. Two, if houses are to be built on government lands, the new citizenship by investment regulations say that the homes will belong to the government on completion. So it would in effect be a government project. Private investors, private developers, public good. That's fine. Has due diligence been done on East Coast housing development out of Trinidad? On Brico Renewable Energy Group? On Brian Singh of Trinidad? Has due diligence been done on an Irish man who lives in China, who gives the name of Jerry? Has due diligence been done on Cetaphorm out of Guyana and Cetaphorm out of China and Nanjing Cement Company out of China and Amex Company also out of China? I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just putting to you what I humbly suggest are important questions to be asked and answered. These are names we are seeing and hearing in relation to this project. And are there any other businesses that are intended to be involved? Is anyone fronting for any other company or interest group? The same man, Jerry, is seen on a video interview in which he said that the houses will come with fridges, TVs, toasters, dishwashers, etc., which he said will be part of the price, and which will be more than likely manufactured in China. So possibly, whether you want these appliances or not, you may still have to pay for them, which would be another smart way of pushing Chinese products into our economy, small as our economy may be. Will local suppliers of these items, and this is question three, well, the third set of questions, will local suppliers of these items be able to compete with this? The same interview with Jerry was done in 2022, and in it he said that they had a contract with Saint Kitts, Nevis and Grenada. Was that comment made before the elections of August 2022 or after? Which administration signed it with him or with them? Next, why are we allowing a company from China to come in here and put up what is claimed to be a $25 million concrete batching plant, when we already have local businesses that do that and which should be encouraged and supported so they can build capacity to handle increased local demand, not only from this project but from others? Isn't that how you protect and promote your own? Next question. Has anybody considered that if this thing happens, these people could quickly, I mean the concrete people, become the dominant provider of concrete in our country? And what would that do to our local concrete providers? Push them out of the game and onto the breadline, and a number of local people losing their jobs? Are we thinking these things through? I don't believe a Chinese company is going to invest in a batching plant here just for one project. Next, have environmental, health, energy, water, social, logistical, security, and economic impact assessments been done on this project? If so, shouldn't they be discussed with the public? And if not, why not? Why were they not done? Next, will the lands where these houses are to be built be some of our best food producing land? Or will there be marginal land, which of course is the better option? Will infrastructure such as roads, water, electricity, internet, cable, sewage systems, etc., be installed? Because we know that a lot of lots have been given out over the years in areas where there are no services. Will spaces in these developments be allocated for flower gardens or subsistence backyard farming, for play and community areas, for commercial areas? That is how you develop settlements. You make sure that the amenities are in, not just a house for somebody to live in. Is there any debt exposure for the government? If so, how much? And how could that affect the fiscal and financial operations of the government over the next 4 or more years? What is this cruciform technology that they're talking about? I heard Mr. Leon Natter Nelson say that it could withstand a Category 10 hurricane. Well, we know that he was joking, because there's no such thing as a Category 10 hurricane. But seriously, what can these houses stand up to? And if it is different from what our people are accustomed to, and it is, whether our potential homeowners or our contractors, whoever it may be, is there not an information and education process that should be put underway with regard to our people knowing about the technology? If I'm repeating myself, forgive me, but I think it is important. Now, based on the numbers that I've seen, this is a project that is being touted as an easy $750 million project. The one-bedroom house will sell for $111,000 easy. The two-bedroom, $213,000. That's $102,000 more for the extra bedroom, I suppose, for some more space as well. And the three-bedroom, 297,000. Let us presume that they sell 800 of each. That means that with all of the houses sold, they will collect just under 500 million. But if it is a $750 million project and they're collecting only 500 million from the sale of houses, that means there's a shortfall of $250 million. And people don't go into business to lose. Another thing to do with the money raises a question. The same man, Jerry, said that the cost of building these houses is $54 a square foot, which is about 145 EC dollars. However, Minister Hanley says that the one bedroom will go at 111,000. The one bedroom is 324 square feet, we are told, which works out to be $345 a square foot, not the 145 that we are getting from Jerry. So there may be a discrepancy here. And if so, it would be good for that discrepancy to be explained. So if my calculations are correct, then my questions are these. How will this project really be financed? Is it a CBI project? If so, how many passports are to be allocated for the developers to offer to the global market? And who will be the service providers? Will they be hand-picked, or will applicants for citizenship have a free hand? And to whom will the applications be addressed? To the developer, as was the case with the Galaxy Jail, which incidentally is continuing, and I'm told, being done with Chinese labor? Or will the applications be sent to the government? We have had bad experiences with CBI projects here on the island, and I don't need to point them out to you. So what assurances can we get that this won't be just another one of those? The same man, Jerry, said that these houses can be built in a month and that they are typically suited for people who want to build with the help of friends, self-help sort of stuff. Or alternatively, he said, his company can build the houses. So this leads me to ask the question, given that there'll be less labor intensive and construction proceeds so quickly, what real and lasting benefits will we see for our contractors, our construction workers, our truckers, and so forth? How much local value added? How much money, capital, will there be injected into our economy? And do the prices published by the minister himself include the land? If they do not, then that means that the land price would have to be added. So the purchase price would be higher than the 111,000, the 213,000, and the 297,000. And if the prices do include the land, then the government share would have to come out of the prices, which means that these developers, unless it is a CBI project and they're making good money from the CBI, would lose even more than the 250 million. Questions need to be asked and answered. So we are back to price. I imagine that this project would include duty and other concessions. The one bedroom house is priced at 111,000. And as I said, it's 324 square feet, based on our information. $345 per square foot. That sounds kind of high for affordable housing done with duty and other concessions granted. As I end, let me say this. I am not at all against private investments for public good. I'm not against programs for housing and for other developments that can benefit primarily the people of this country. But a project of this scope and consequentiality, if it is to proceed, needs to do so only after the public is fully informed and at this time, understandably eager as the government is to stir up economic activity. It is always better to wait a bit, not forever, but a bit, inform the public, get it right, before these holes that are intended to be dug into the ground, with all the good intentions in the world. Better to take a little time and get it right, than these holes end up becoming political burial sites for our decision makers. In short, the government needs to have a serious conversation with the people, and sending who have been sent before and presenting the matters to us in the manner in which they've been presented. Those ways are not enough. We need a full picture. We wish the government and the people well. Thank you.